Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. If you're just joining us, we are about to hear the final part of a presentation called Holding Difficult Conversations About Race, Lessons from the Jim Crow Museum, given by the museum's director and founder, Dr. David Pilgrim. We'll pick up from the stage at Courtier Auditorium at Manchester University in just a couple moments. Thank you for listening.
I'll give you another absolute. I'm putting this one in because it's my way of sort of honoring what this day is. When I'm driving down 131 South there, and I get off on Pearl Street to go into downtown Grand Rapids, there's almost always a person there with a sign saying, give them money. And the person is usually wearing old clothes or ragged clothes. They look like they've had a really hard time. And so to honor Dr. King, I say this, I don't feel sorry for that person. I don't feel sorry for them at all. Because when the way I was raised, to feel sorry for someone is a way of saying you're better than them. And pity is not compassion. Instead of feeling sorry for people, hurt with them. Instead of feeling sorry for people, hurt with them. Because if you hurt with them, you're more likely to do what? To help them. So what I want to do is I want to read you part of something I wrote years ago. And it was actually, I had given a talk in Indiana, in South Bend. I left and I read this. It's going to take about 5 minutes. Do I have 5 minutes to read this? All right, thank you. This is a voice coming from the heavens. You know, yes, you do, young man. Yes, read it, please. I'm pleased with your reading of this. All right, so it goes like this. I have a brother who lives as a white man. He is the principal of Cedarbrook Elementary School in Bakersfield, California. He has a wife, a son, and a daughter. I have not met them. I have not met him. If my brother were here today, he would politely deny our kinship. I understand. It takes two men to make a brother. I have a brother serving 5 years in Atmore State Penitentiary. Even as a child, he took things that didn't belong to him. He is scheduled for release many years from now. No one will be there to welcome him. He is a thief, a career criminal, and I, despite the log in my eyes, can see the speck in his. I have a brother who was the pastor of Mount Olive Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, the second largest black church in Pennsylvania. He was the most powerful public speaker I've heard. It was like listening to Moses. His voice booming, arms flailing, he would preach until his shirt was drenched with sweat. But before the shirt was dry, he would have some young sister spinning in the back seat of his BMW. One day he left that big church and started a ministry for the homeless and those afflicted with AIDS. A newspaper reporter asked him why he'd left Mount Olive, and he answered, I got saved. Today he lives, as much as is humanly possible, a life devoid of even the hint of hypocrisy. A year ago, a thought came into my head and took residence. Forgive the likely hyperbole, but this thought tortured me, ripped me. It was not an original thought, nor was it especially profound, but it wouldn't go away. It wouldn't leave me alone. I tried to not think the thought, which of course cemented it in my mind, this thought that tortured me. Five words. Five simple words. It seems so melodramatic, so silly to say that one was tortured by a thought, but I was. I remember when the thought came, I was delivering a lecture at a conference in Indiana, and I said something, the thought, and the audience applauded. I'm a professor, meaning I like applause and rarely get it. So I said it again, and this time the audience stood and cheered. On the return to drive to Michigan, those five words came back to me, and I, like my brother, felt like a charlatan. The five words were these, every man is my brother. I've never believed that. And again, I don't know why I said it that first time. And I wondered, why does anyone say anything? I've certainly lied before. White ones, black ones, big ones, ones not so big. It was a lie because I didn't believe it, and yet I had said it twice. It's so corny to say every man is my brother. It sounds like something you'd read in a Mother Jones magazine, or worse, Reader's Digest. I've always felt a kinship with men of color, especially brown ones. I like it when we say, yo, what's up, brother? Or what's up, brother? Or true that, brother? Or true that, brother? A shared history of oppression will make you call a stranger brother. But even in those cases, it was a symbolic act. I didn't think we were actually brothers. Weeks and months passed, and I couldn't get that thought out of my mind. One day I was in the Jim Crow Museum, and I saw a postcard with a black man being publicly whipped. I've seen that postcard many times. After all, I bought it, I put it in the cabinet, and it's in my presentations. I looked at that man being beaten, and I thought, my brother was being beaten publicly, naked to the waist, beaten like a dog, worse than a dog. And at that moment, I felt in a way that I can't describe that he was indeed my brother. Not a symbolic brother, a real one. I wanted to run to him, rip him from the post, and beat his tormentors. I wanted to hold him, hold his head to my chest, and tell him that his brother, this brother, cared for him and had come to rescue him. My God, he really was my brother. Later, I tried to talk to people about it, but most folks won't go with you when you're tripping. Sometimes when I went to the museum, I would not look at that postcard. Sometimes it was all I looked at. One day I looked at the postcard and in the postcard, and I saw a little white boy. He was standing near my beaten brother. And that little boy, he was not laughing, not protesting either, just standing there near the white man with the whip. And I looked at that child, and it hit me like a heel to the face that that little boy was also my brother. And I thought, no, 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 I don't want this. He hates me before he knows the fifth grade. I want to cuss him and the woman who made him. His brother is the white man with the whip. My brother is the black man being beaten. How can that child be my brother? I don't want this. And then I understood the thought that tortured me. It wasn't only or even primarily that I had said something in a public lecture that I didn't believe. I've lied too many times for that to torture me. No, the real torture was the realization, just maybe, that all men are my brothers. And I did not want that. I tried to dismiss those five words as hollow religious slogan, liberal tripe, mawkish muck from the mouths of idealistic zealots. Why? Because if that little boy was my brother, then so was the white man with the whip. And my heart said, he's not my brother. He's a monster. I don't hate the whip. I hate him. I don't hate what he stands for. I hate him. I want to make him feel that whip, strip him naked, beat him till my arm is tired, beat him like he is not a child of God, put his naked back on a postcard. If he's my brother, then so was every slaveholder who raped a girl or boy, and I don't want that. That's too much. Every overseer, every lyncher, every foot on a neck, I don't want this. Every man is my brother, it changes nothing. And from the deepest place in me came one last yowl. No, no, no. My Uncle Sonny looks like the black man who was being beaten, and that little white boy who stood and watched looks like my son, Jamie. Every man is my brother. It doesn't matter if I want it or not. In a moment, the idle truth, the idle thought became a truth, a matter of fact truth, absolute. I am the only male. I am the only male born from my mother's womb, but every man is my brother. White elementary school principals who deny me, prisoners who rob, preachers who leave big churches to help the helpless, every man. This kinship is not based on shared wounds, common ancestors, similar skin, communal beliefs, or brotherly love. We are brothers because we spring from the same fountain. And that water only runs one way. I can hate a man, but he is still my brother. I admired Dr. King and I detested James Earl Ray, but they were both my brothers. We don't choose our brothers. George Bush is my brother, and so is the man who made his breakfast this morning, and Stevie Wonder, who cannot see, and David Duke, who chooses not to, and Leonard Peltier, and the men he killed or didn't kill, and Reverend Jerry Falwell and his white sons, and Minister Farrakhan and his black sons, and Bill Gates, who has more money than the devil, and Eminem, always bitter, and brothers who cry, and brothers who need to cry, and the men who crashed the airplanes into the Twin Towers were my brothers, and they killed my brothers, and pimps are my brothers, and date rapists, and punks, and brothers slinging dope, and Eric Harris, and Dylan Faulkner, young men robbed of the truth, and Dick Cheney, and moonshiners, and revenuers, and Jerry Springer, who brings me down, and Stephen Hawking, who lifts me, and brothers who live as white men, and brothers who live as black men, and brothers who live as red men, and brothers who don't want to live, but none are niggers, kikes, crackers, wops, chinks, or fags, because God didn't make any of those. And the men in the Abu Ghraib photographs are my brothers. And so are the men who behead the helpless. And Michael Jackson is my brother, and so are his accusers. And Cain and Abel and hawks and doves and those who sleep in urine-stained hallways and malicious talkers and Al Franken and Bill O'Reilly and the men who carry their bags and capitalists and communists. And some are beautiful and some are disfigured. Some run, some sit always in iron chairs. And villagers too. Some are strangers, but none are alien. And brothers with tender hearts, and wicked brothers, and weak ones like me. O.J. Simpson is my brother, and so is the father of Nicole Simpson. I've got brothers I want to hit, and brothers I want to hold, and some who hate me, and some who hate you, and some of my brothers are old, some poor, some ugly, some with whips and strong right arms. Every day is a family reunion. Because every man, every good man, and every bad man, every man born of a woman is my brother. And to know this changes nothing, changes everything. My son is Eustace Jameson Pilgrim. After his fifth birthday, I asked him, "How do you like being five?" He said he liked being five because the number five was cute. He is my son. He is my little brother. One day he said to me, "I don't love you." And he saw my frown and he said, "Dad, it's opposite day." And I said, "Oh, then I don't love your expletive either." My son is my brother, and that changes everything. A reshuffling of the cards, and he is the man with the whip. Or the man being beaten. Either way, my brother, my little brother, today I will hold his head to my chest. He is my son, he is my brother, and I am his keeper. A new thought has entered my head and taken residence. It is not an original thought, nor is it especially profound. I will not let it torture me. It is a simple thought, and it is this: every woman is my... Say it loud.
Sister.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much.
This has been an episode of WBOI Presents. Special thanks to Matt Unger and his team at Manchester University for providing the audio for this program. Our theme music is by Mark Waldick. Additional music is by Mark Waldick and Noah Campodonico. Our WBOI intern is Brandon Williams. Thank you for listening. Until next time.